Good evening. On behalf of the Social Science Bahar, I, Deepak Thapar, would like to welcome you to the third of the lecture series in one of our programs, the Interactive Mapping and Archiving Project, IMAP. This is a project basically archiving in digital format the various cultural heritages, both tangible and intangible, of the Kathmandu Valley. For the purpose of research and for the general purpose of easy accessibility. One of the things that we've been doing in the past 7 or 8 months is leading discussions on the idea of open spaces in the Kathmandu Valley, which are increasingly being encroached, have always been encroached upon by private as well as government bodies. And the idea being to generate a discussion on how we can continue to preserve our open spaces, which are so essential for both social, cultural, and at times political life as well. As part of the series, this is slightly deviating from our main theme, but we have Anil Chatrakar. Most of you know who he is, but it is my duty to introduce him as the moderator of the session. He will be talking on the windows, quote-unquote, maybe gone, but not the hands, quote-unquote, that crafted them. You have seen the abstract, but I will introduce Anil. He is an engineer and energy planner who studied in Rajasthan as well as the US, Pennsylvania. He started out as an energy engineer for the Academy of Science and Technology, when he traveled to remote areas of Nepal to transfer renewable energy technologies. He was part of the team that implemented the National Conservation Strategy for Nepal and went on to join the IUCN Nepal office, head the IUCN Nepal office. When the Democratic Mayor of Kathmandu was elected, he joined the Kathmandu Metropolitan City as a member of the City Planning Commission, where he focused his efforts on earthless conservation and environmental management. Anil is an Ashoka Fellow and loves taking heritage walks through Kathmandu. And some of us who have been privileged to have gone on these walks, it is certainly a great privilege to walk around with Anil as he takes us to the sites he loves and the city he loves. May I request you to please put your mobiles on silent or turn them off if you can. You'll be speaking for about half an hour, and then we can go in for a Q&A for the same amount of time. Thank
okay.
you.
Very good. So we do this in English, I guess, right? Yeah. So let me do this, and then you know the discussion we can open up, you know, for a more interactive session. So here is the picture, and I guess you know the first question would be, you know, the program's called Who Wants to Become a Millionaire, and so this might be a good visual to just ask, you know, where is this located? So anybody could take a guess. Where is this location?
Jordan,
and specifically.
Yes,
Petra. And so just to show you this picture, because having been to this location, which is one of the most well visited or one of the most crowded in terms of tourist visitation, so many people just stop there and take pictures and spend a lot of time. But for somebody who is interested in heritage, so I took a little side tour and then tried to ask people what was the story of Petra. And it's a very interesting thing that in say about 2000 years ago or 1500 years ago, many of these cities were basically what you call trade centers, and so these were very flourishing settlements, because a lot of people came to these points, traded, and then moved on to other places. Okay, now what happened to this particular space was that the Romans basically conquered that area. And from what we know in history, the Romans did not understand how the local people had managed the water system. And so it is very interesting that a place that can survive for thousands of years, suddenly 7 to 8 years only after the Roman occupation, the place became an archaeological site. So the point, I think, what we are really going to discuss, and it is about spaces, it is about, the places where we love. But the point is to understand that there are certain things which are reversible and there are other things which are irreversible. And so the point about, you know, our discussion has to be, we really have to focus on the irreversible so that we can save some place. Whereas sometimes, you know, our money, our energy, our effort seems to go into what can be saved because it is reversible. So this is the theme that I want to really focus on. So, you know, just to take you through a few more, you know, of these. So just imagine, say about 10, 20 years down the road, you know, Kathmandu, say in Patan Darbar Square or Hanuman Dokha, you know, there are no human beings, you know, living in Kathmandu because, you know, 10 years ago, you know, the city was struck not by a waterborne disease, but maybe by an airborne, you know, virus. And so everybody, you know, had to either die or leave, you know, Kathmandu. And so we can easily visualize, just like Petra, that somebody would take the tender or the contract to run a sound and light show. And so in that sound and light show, we would be explaining to people, in the good old days, the people of Kathmandu used to do this, they used to do that. And so we can easily imagine what Kathmandu would look like when it is a dead city, but still useful for tourism because you can have a sound and light show. Now the point is, where would that tipping point be? So where are those points where people will continue to live in Kathmandu versus when will it become an archaeological city? And so that's, you know, where we really have to focus, you know, part of our, you know, discussion. So this is a, you know, picture, and I think many of you who know me, you know, I'm very positive. I think, you know, things can be done. And so this is a really amazing picture of Kathmandu in the 1960s. Okay, so you can see all the Rana palaces, and especially in the foreground, you can see the Election Commission, you know, building, the Bahadur Bhavan, and then the Fora Darbar, which is the American Recreation, you know, Center, and then few. But the focus of this picture is to really look at the watershed in the back, and so that is Shivpuri watershed. And so, you know, we're not very old, but in 1989, through the Norwegian government's support, through FAO, the conservation of Shivpuri watershed management began. And so just to take you through a short chronology, initially it was a watershed management project. It later became a wildlife reserve, and today it is a full national park. Now, the wildlife might have increased, the vegetation might have increased, but what we are concerned about is the amount of water that flows from Shivpuri has increased sixfold since its protection. So the population of Kathmandu, just to give you a number, during the 10 years of armed conflict, the population of the Kathmandu Valley increased 12% per annum, which is probably, you know, unheard of in any place in the world. But you know that initially people moved their children to the city, so that is why every other household is a school today. You know, as the conflict increased, so a lot of people moved into the city, and then of course there is this transition from Kathmandu to the different parts of the globe as well. But 12% increase in population is probably something that no city in the world, you know, copes with. And so if you see, the drain doesn't work, the pipes don't work, the road doesn't work, it is simply because the amount of investment that a city needs to make simply cannot cope with that kind of inflow. But the point of this picture is for us to all understand, if we can create Shivpuri Watershed Management Project, what prevents us from creating Fulsoki Watershed Management Project, Chandragiri Watershed Management Project, Jamacho, you know, Watershed Management Project, and even Nagarkot Watershed? So if we could increase five other watersheds around the valley rim, I think the amount of water that would come into the system would be very big. So the point that we all have to understand is, if you look at the newspapers, you know, read today's newspapers or yesterday's newspapers, the newspaper has a big headline that says, people in the Sarai are dying of cold. Now, if cold was to kill people, then there would be no Sherpas left, and there would be no Russians left. So the first thing we have to understand is that people don't die of cold. They die because they don't have enough to eat. They die because they don't have enough clothes. So in Kathmandu also, what we have to understand is, for example, the Bagmati is not dirty. The clean Bagmati is all in our overhead tanks. Because what we did was, we took the clean Bagmati and we put it into the pipe and we stored it in the overhead tank. So what we see in the river is really wastewater that comes from our homes. So unless we start changing the way we think of these systems, we cannot fix these systems. Okay? So if people understood that there is an increased amount of water coming from Shivpuri, but the number of overhead tanks has become so many that the supply cannot basically meet the demand. And so if you want to increase it and the balance it, then we can still create other watersheds around the valley. Okay, so can we all, you know, just appreciate the fact that watershed management is something that Nepalese are good at. We have already done it in Shivpuri, and we can replicate it at least 5 times. So the moment the conversation goes in that direction, then I think we have something that is possible, that is doable. Okay. Now the next, you know, set of arguments is this. Now this is a rice planting, you know, picture, but what I really want to, you know, to understand is, on a plot of, you know, land in Kathmandu, there are probably about 8 or 9 species of rice that is planted. So some rice is for eating, some rice is for making, you know, white, you know, beer. Some of it is for making brandy, some is for kheer. So, you know, there are all kinds of species that goes into it. Okay. Now what we have to really understand is that the water and the soil might be a physical or a tangible, you know, resource, but the knowledge about what species to plant is an intangible knowledge. Okay. So in terms of the knowledge that we are talking about, so if you think of a country where there are 100 ethnic groups, let us say, who speak all kinds of different languages, what we have to understand is that the knowledge about these plants or these species are actually stored in the language of the people and their cultural, you know, their habits. Okay? So it is the culture that stores it. So let us just try to understand something very simple. For a particular puja, if you need a particular flower, then what we have to understand is that the only reason why that flower is still there in some, you know, garden is because we will need it for that particular puja. Okay? So just try to understand that if the Sherpa father is taking his child into the forest and points at a plant and says this is a particular plant in the Sherpa language, then that word holds a lot of knowledge. So the day when every Sherpa speaks English, the plant might still be there, but the knowledge about what is the use of that plant will be gone. So the challenge, not just for Kathmandu Valley, but for across the country, is not so much to save the plant, you know, where most of our focus and our energy has gone into, but how do we save the knowledge? How do we save this, you know, for perpetuity? So just as an example, you know, in the good old days when, you know, we used to work on conservation projects in Manaslu and other places, so people would point at a mushroom and they use the word beak. But it takes a little bit of learning to understand that the word beak also means medicine. But you have to understand the doses. Now, how much to take? So if you take more than that, you die. But if you take a certain amount, it is medicine. Right? And the local people have that knowledge. So the point is, the plants we might be able to save, but the knowledge will be very difficult to save. So I think, you know, you can use a very simple example with rice species. But, you know, if you take all the medicinal plants, if you take all the fibrous plants, if you take all the bamboo species, so there's a lot of knowledge, you know, that we will lose long before we actually lose the rice, you know, species itself. So this is also something that we really have to look at. Now look at this picture. So there is again this feeling in Kathmandu Valley that the topsoil is endless. So we can take as much topsoil as we can and it will still continue. But surely there must be a limit to topsoil. Okay? So just to understand that if we preserve Shivpuri, water might be a renewable resource. But the topsoil, once we remove it and make it into brick, it is a non-renewable resource. And so surely there must be some limit that we have to start understanding, that beyond a certain level, the soil, because it takes millions of years to create topsoil, it is not a renewable resource. And so the point being, if you are constructing with bricks, and if you are concerned about spaces, then there is something wrong with that. Let us use the same analogy. If you are building with gravel, and your gravel comes from the watershed, and so because you destroyed the watershed for the gravel and you are complaining that there is no water in your house, there is something wrong with that picture. So again the question becomes, how do you educate people that this might be a non-renewable resource and hence it is time to actually cap, you know, how many bricks we can have. So look at the carbon trading mechanism globally. Right? So if there was a cap on how much carbon dioxide could be emitted, then people would be forced to buy carbon credit. Can you imagine the Kathmandu Valley setting a brick cap, whereby if you wanted to build with a brick house, you would actually have to go and buy bricks from some other places? Can it be done? I think as a market it can be done. But then it has to be done as a market, because we know market forces work. And so we could maybe save these spaces, you know, from becoming completely, you know, devastated in terms of, you know, the fertility or its ability to grow, you know, crops. Okay? So just a picture here. This is, you can guess. Can somebody guess where this picture is taken? So if you are going to, you know, Swayambhu early in the morning across the Bishnamadi River at Konkeswar, so that's the picture. Now you might think this is a 100-year-old picture, 200-year-old picture, but actually this is a very recent picture. And so 25 years ago, so Konkeswar, you know, as you cross the Bishnamadi to go to Swayambhu, you know, would look like this, right? Now the point again being, sand is a very critical, you know, factor. So we have excavated a lot of sand from the rivers, and what we have to really understand is that sand plays a very crucial role in the ecosystem of that river. So as we removed more and more sand, it, you know, basically we have no more sand, and so today the sand comes from Dolalghat or it comes from Trisuli. And so what we are doing really is shifting these problems that, you know, Kathmandu has already faced into other areas. Now again, what I want to do, just emphasize again, renewable and non-renewable, is that one of the things that we can do to actually stop flooding in the Koshi is to extract sand. If you can take a sufficient amount of sand from the river, then the river will continue to maintain a certain level. So from the Bagmati also, if you do not take any sand out, then the level will rise to a point where someday there will be flooding in Thapathali and Kupandur. But if you take too much out, then you see the level that we have today. So the question that we all have to understand again is the word management. So management is not saying let us ban sand mining in Bagmati, or it is not about not taking sand at all, right? So there is a middle path where we have to just take the right amount out so that it can replenish itself. So, you know, very simple concept, but very difficult to, you know, hammer home in terms of management. So this is even a more recent picture, and this picture is just about, you know, 5-6 months old, and this is the Bagmati actually this monsoon. And, you know, it's very rare to see a picture like this of the Bagmati, but we can see that, you know, between the ghat, you know, if this was a level thing, then the water actually spreads and it aerates, and hence it is able to take in oxygen, and so it basically cleanses itself. And so when you trap it into a small drain, it doesn't react with oxygen, and so the oxygen level in the water would go down. And so if there is a way to spread the water like this, then it is self-cleansing as a system. Now, one of the things that we also have to understand is not just knowledge, but the day-to-day practices. Now, what is really strange is that over the years, the rivers have gone, you know, down the drain, basically because people have not used it. So sometimes in conservation we say, if in Dasain, instead of sacrificing goats, if we had to sacrifice tigers, maybe we would have a lot more tigers. So there was a, you know, a Far Eastern Economic Review article that says, how can you save an animal which is more costly when it is dead than when it is alive? And which is an amazing argument, eh? So if you kill a tiger, it's worth more than when it is alive. So sometimes what happens with rivers also is that if it was alive, it was used, then people would care about it. But if people are not using it, then it seems to decline. So here again, what we have to really understand is that unless we start using the river, we will not be able to save it. Now, for example, Meghalaya and, you know, their team, they try to do like rafting, you know, some kind of Bagmati, you know, festivals to bring people back to the river. But if we lose, you know, these kinds of activities where we stop going to the river for any purpose, then people will stop, you know, having any attachment, you know, to that river. And so all of us who are with a little bit of gray hair, we still love the river because a lot of our childhood activities were on the river. But for those people who have always seen the Bagmati dirty and have never interacted with the river, they care less. And so sometimes, you know, this is also an emotional, you know, issue. And so I think these kinds of emotional attachments, or, you know, for religious purposes or spiritual purposes, so all of those also need to be revived. So it's not just a question of physically, you know, increasing the water or the sand, but having an attachment, you know, to that river. And so cleansing, you know, is a good word to look at. Now, this is another, you know, aspect of this intangible, you know, that we have to look at, and which is basically the annual festival of the rain god, or Machindranath, or Bungdeya, or Karunamaya, you know, depending on whatever you, you know, believe in. But the point again being that snakes are an integral part of this ecosystem. So today, for example, in Makalaborun, we use the tree frog as an indicator, right, a biological indicator. So for example, in parts of Nepal where you don't see leeches, juga anymore, then you say the acidity of the rain must be very high. So the leeches themselves become a biological indicator. I think for centuries and centuries we've always had snakes as a biological indicator. And so as long as there are snakes in the valley, you know, the ecosystem is okay. But the day the snakes leave the valley or you don't see any snakes, then it will become a dead ecosystem. And so I think this whole festival of the Machinnath is very important because it actually celebrates bringing the snakes back into the valley. And so today, you know, sometimes for the younger generation, for the younger or more scientific, you know, oriented people, we cannot just say, you know, just bow down to this image or just don't do a puja, but maybe we need to contextualize a festival like this into a more real, you know, science or logical, you know, arguments. And so snakes and its representation of what the ecosystem, what the health of the ecosystem is, I think are critical things that, you know, we haven't even looked at, but we need to look at these things. So for example, you know, on the Dhungedhara, we're just talking with Saurabh, you know, on the Dhungedhara you'll see a mongoose, right? And on part of the design you'll also see snakes. Now what we are told is that this action or this movement between the mongoose and the snake is actually what keeps the drains and the channels open. And so it is not by chance that on top of the Dhungedhara you have a mongoose and a snake, because these are the biological opposites, and so they chase each other, and that movement of these animals is probably what keeps the drains, you know, going for thousands of years. So sometimes we have to maybe find, you know, more current logic besides just saying, you know, throw some abir at it or throw some rice at it and somehow, you know, you've done your job. I think we need to go a little deeper into these issues. So the other aspect that I just wanted to touch on, so was this question that we put it on the topic, was the windows. So every day, if you look at, you know, the Sotheby's, if you look at all the different catalogs around the world, you will see that there are artifacts from Nepal being sold. Now the question is, if these things were not being sold in the international market, actually most Nepalese would not know the value of these things. But now that they are being auctioned in some of the biggest auction houses in the world, we finally actually know the price of these things. It's a very strange thing. Because one of the reasons why we did not take care of these things is there was so much that we didn't put any value to it. But the moment it appears in New York, the moment it gets to Europe, then we know the value, you know, of these things. So just as an example, just look at, you know, this nice picture of the Patan Darbar Square just a few days ago. So you'll see the outside part is the old piece, but the inside is the new piece. The only thing, and this might sound very, you know, radical, but instead of worrying about windows being stolen, if we could take care of the person who can make the windows, maybe it is good for them to be stolen. Because only when they are stolen, we seem to get the market price for it. So the question is, if you are not emotional about how old that particular window is, and if you know the person who can continue to make the window, so what would be wrong with this window being stolen as long as tomorrow morning we can replace it? So imagine we had a whole industry where every day the windows are stolen, but next day we replace it. And this would be a new economy that we can create for the artisans in Kathmandu Valley. And this is just to show you, you know, the quality of the work, the quality of, you know, the techniques that people still have in the Kathmandu Valley. So again, the renewable part and the non-renewable part. The point is, the artists are still here. They can still do this kind of work, but we have to provide them the right incentives. Given the right incentives, the skills are still, you know, available. So no need to, you know, cry about the windows. Now this is an amazing piece. Right? So this is the Tusahiti in Patan Darbar Square, and it was stolen. And here is a perfect example. When it was stolen, what happened? The Kathmandu Valley Preservation Trust actually had a new piece made. Now in between the piece being stolen and the new piece, you know, being installed, the police was actually able to recover the old piece. And so only then we knew that the old piece was basically being put into the market for an amazing amount of price. So only now we know that the artist, you know, who can actually, you know, replace, you know, these pieces are, you know, basically the kind of what you call artists who could easily, you know, in the marketplace become millionaires. Because now we know that these pieces are worth millions. Okay? So again, a piece being stolen, big headline. The piece being recovered is also big headline. But the learning for a group like us is to understand that the capacity to replace these pieces still exists in the valley. And so that knowledge or that skill is a renewable resource. So just a few more examples. So this is the pond inside the Patan Darbar Square, and this is Oldfield's, you know, painting found in the London Museum. And so this is a watercolor piece, and guess what the, you know, piece looks like now. So it has been recovered. So 200 years, right, the old picture, and now it's being completely restored. So again, this, I think we just have to understand that if the water is gone, maybe it's not renewable. If the topsoil is gone, it is not renewable. But the skills to recover these kinds of things, not yet a big problem. But we would have to provide the right incentives so that, you know, this kind of work can continue. So now the question comes, you know, something called a tacit knowledge. So tacit knowledge is very strange. So for example, you know, I always give this example in the business schools, that we think that if you know how to speak English, if you know how to use a laptop, you can make a good living. But the simple thing that we have to understand is, in Chitone there is a community forest called Baghmara, and they have 43 elephants. So the elephant does 2 trips in the morning and 2 in the evening. And each elephant carries 3 people, and each tourist pays 1500 rupees. So do your math, 43 into 4 into 3 into 1500, and if you divide it by 80, that is $10,000 a day. So which laptop carrying person in this room makes that kind of money? So the point is, you know, we are giving a lot of value to laptops and laptop skills, but maybe we don't value the mahout and the skills that they possess in how to, you know, basically manage an elephant. And the problem is, while you can get a small manual on how to use a laptop, there is no manual on how to train an elephant. So in the same way, if you wanted to teach people pottery, unless you get your hands dirty, there is no manual. You cannot say, you know, press the clay at this many newtons per square inch or something. You know, there is no such thing like that. And this is what you call tacit knowledge. And so this tacit knowledge would have to come from basically protecting a way of life. Right? And so in Timi, you can see this, you know, happening every day. But the question then becomes, if the younger generation, you know, leave this job and go to something else, then there's no way you can just open an art school and hope that this knowledge will get transferred. So it's just something that, you know, we constantly have to, you know, think of. So the next thing that was also very important, and I think all of us understand, is that, so having artisans with the knowledge and the techniques is very important. But while we wait for some of these things to be recovered, we need to urgently start documenting. So at least till the time when we cannot recover these things, at least let us take as many pictures as possible. Let us interview as many people as possible. Let us start, you know, sketching as much as possible. So just like that example, the only reason why we can recover that pond is because Oldfield sat there and did this watercolor. But if we start using, you know, start losing this authentic documentation, then someday we may have the money and we may have the artist, but we will not know what to recover. So maybe the urgency is right now is not so much to recover it, but to document, you know, what is there. And so, for example, in our guthis, in our, you know, many pujas, you know, there is still this culture, dekhon nahune, bhanun nahune. So there's a lot of this kind of thing, you know, that we cannot show it to you. But then very amazingly, the statue that people always told me you couldn't show to, suddenly I find it on a web page and it's in Chicago Museum. And so this is really sad, that, you know, you cannot show it to the local people, but it can be sold off to somebody. And so we are losing things much more quickly that way than actually in time for its recovery. So maybe documentation is something that we can really focus on. Now, positive. Kutumba. We've all heard of Kutumba. So how will the local musical instruments, how will the local music catch up? It's not by having people looking like local ethnic groups wearing the traditional garb, but I think, you know, we can actually recover it by jean wearing, t-shirt wearing young people making it very fabulous. If you can look at this picture, and so these guys are now traveling around the world, you know, performing Nepali art, Nepali music, and so this has more traction than any art workshop, any, you know, culture thing. So these guys actually become like the leaders to set the trend that to play a traditional instrument is okay. Now I will tell you this, because when I grew up, right, so being a Newar or being a Chitrakar was not the best position in society. So somehow you had to become an engineer, you had to become a doctor. And so it wasn't very hip to become a Chitrakar. So I think, you know, with this kind of trend, I think people will suddenly start taking pride, you know, in their culture and start adapting it and learning it, because society begins to recognize, you know, these kinds of things. And so as they travel around the world, as there is a young followers, you know, behind them, you know, suddenly a lot of more people will start taking up, you know, these kinds of, you know, activities. Now this is, you know, what I wanted to show typically is that this girl, you know, going to college is probably paying, I don't know, 200, 300,000 rupees to get a degree, and behind is somebody, you know, who is making sinka or, you know, those the bamboo, you know, brushes. And so how do we bridge this gap, I think, is the real challenge. How do we make sure that, yes, children need to get a modern education, they need to go to school, but then at the same time, how do you get them to take pride in their culture or in, you know, who they were? And so that, I think, is more challenging than just taking care of our temples and our structures. So this divide, I think, is one of the biggest challenges that we need to address. Now again, on a very positive note, the Buddhist teachings, you know, basically the culture of lighting a lamp is very interesting, the way it is described in the text, is that when you light one lamp and it lights many other lamps, the original light doesn't get smaller. Right? So the original light still stays, you know, with the same illumination. So the question is that knowledge is such a thing that if you teach 100 people, right, your knowledge doesn't decrease. It is just the way knowledge is. But ultimately, as you light many lamps, the original light will die. And so this is the first reality of life, is that all of us are going to die. And so sometimes in Nepal, when you write our plans, when you write our papers, we say, in the long run, I think every document should end by saying, in the long run, we are all dead. So in the short run, how many people can I teach? How many people can I pass this skill on to so that it spreads? And so if we can inculcate values like that in society, if we can have conversations like that, then it can happen. I will tell you, in artisan families, the parents will not only not teach all their children, the tendency will be they will teach only their favorite sibling. And so these knowledge or these skills are held very close because the fear that I might get replaced. And so look at the feudal system where we have, where, you know, somebody who made the very nice, you know, statue like the Palanjok Bhagwati, so the story is that their hands get cut off. And their hands get cut off because the king doesn't want another piece made. And so the story of the Taj Mahal, you know, goes like that. So how do we again change such values that we respect teachers, we respect people who are spreading the knowledge? And so if we can secure them and say, you know, the more you teach, the more secure you are, versus if others learn it, you are finished, which is the traditional value that we, you know, seem to adhere to. So again, you know, many examples, the market forces, I think, are already on our side, because the more these pieces seem to get into the Western market, we are starting to learn the true value, you know, of these things. So you can see young people have now started doing this because they know that they can fetch a good price in that marketplace. And so the point about, you know, these young people, you know, painting, is that if you try to sell a painting and you say, it took me 30 days to paint this, you will get 30 days of whale, of jala. But if you can teach these people to explain what the powa means, what is the story behind the painting, again the intangible, then they will get 100 times more than the number of days they spent on it. So what again is very strange in this country is that you tend to perfect the painting skill, you know, the stone making skill, the woodworking skill, but the intangible, the story of what are you painting, that I think is the area where we need to work on, because that is what really fetches a good price. So again, you know, these are young people at the city mall recently, and so there were almost 400 young people who stayed hungry for one day to raise money for a school in Pasupati, where they realized that these young people, young children, came to school without having any breakfast. And so this young group of people decided that they're going to stay hungry in civil mall for one day. And can you imagine how much money these guys would have spent if they were not hungry? They raised 700,000 rupees on that one day. So that's the amount of money young people would have spent at civil mall in one day. And they decided to stay hungry and collect it all and give it to the school. So if this is the kind of spirit, you know, young people will bring into the city and, you know, start, you know, realizing that we need to take care of, you know, these other things by basically, you know, abstaining from a meal at civil mall one day, I think we have a, you know, good future. Here's another example. This is Lakshmi Bank. You know, as part of their corporate social responsibility, they put solar lights in the Patan Darbar Square. Now, there are 30, you know, 40 banks. If each bank was to say, you know, I will also adopt one place, another, I think, you know, the money, I don't think is the issue. But I think it takes, again, Lakshmi Bank to set the lead, and then hopefully the other banks will follow. And so it's just a good example of, you know, what a corporate social responsibility can be. Now, here's another example. This is the Golden Temple, you know, the Hiranya Mahavihar being restored. And so it's only 50 rupees per tourist who visit, and so the money that they have made, you know, from all the visits is now being used to restore this. Again, what we have to realize is that the price of wood has gone up 6 times since they originally estimated the cost of the restoration. And so again, how do we help them to make sure that they can cover that difference? So planning is one thing, but knowing that, so then can we then increase the fee from 50 rupees to 300 rupees? Probably not. So 300 rupees just to visit the Golden Temple might be too much. But the reality is that it is costing them, you know, 6 times more just to buy the wood. So these are the realities that we have to all understand. So this is also a nice way to look at things. In the Twitter world, in the Facebook world, you can see, you know, as people get married, they're already tweeting. And so, you know, you can see, you know, you may kiss the bride and then suddenly you can see all the tweets, you know, that are going around the world. So sometimes, you know, many of us in this room, I hope we take this long-term view in the sense that it is a process, right? And so in the process, you may not see the end of, you know, the conservation or the end of what we hope to see, but just to realize that in that time continuum, you are also part of it. And so if you can do your part at that particular time, then it will have its results, you know, down the road. So it cannot be this kind of work where we say, let's look for instant gratification. I don't think this is an area where we can seek instant gratification. And so if we can see this more as a process and a long-term, you know, thing, then probably we are on the, you know, right track. So time is such an amazing thing. This is Bodha. And so just look at the construction, you know, all around this stupa. And when I was in the municipality, there was this one house, you know, that broke the ceiling for how high it could be. And on that day, you'll not believe, you know, we took 400 riot police and we had to break this house down. And it was such a scene because for 3 weeks, you know, the local people were so furious. And basically they had banners that say, you know, we don't want, you know, Bodha on the World Heritage List. But today if you walk around Bodha, it's a very pleasant, you know, place. But these kinds of decisions, you know, which have to be taken, you know, sometimes can be harsh. But over time, I think people will, you know, come, you know, to their senses. Now this is the other aspect, right? So that's what Adhanik saw. So one of the things we've realized over the years is that the only way to save Kathmandu Valley is to actually help other parts of Nepal to develop. So very strangely, when I was in the municipality, you know, the Indian government wanted to expand Bir Hospital. We convinced the mission to actually locate the hospital in Dharan. And so the Dharan hospital was built because we forced them not to expand Bir Hospital. You know, if you remember in those days, the Nikon Air flight from Biratnagar always used to have sick people, you know, coming to Kathmandu. And so the cancer hospital in Narangarh, same thing, they wanted to build it in Kathmandu, but we talked to them and said, let's decentralize it. So there's a $30 million, you know, money from ADB, which is basically to invest in satellite towns around Kathmandu in order to decongest Kathmandu. And so it's a very strange concept, but the only way to save Kathmandu is also to make sure that nobody invests in Kathmandu. Very strange, you know, way to look at it. So I think, you know, doomsday preachers, you know, come and go, but I think they have been proved many times, you know, wrong. And so hopefully, you know, we can also prove that they were wrong on Kathmandu. So, you know, many people say, you know, this city is going to die or start looking like Petra. And so it should not be like that. And so we can go. And the real hope that we have to understand is that the number of young people who are joining us for these walks, you know, trying to understand the history and so becoming part of, you know, the Kathmandu culture, I think is the biggest, you know, asset. And so look at, you know, Newache, you know, making a lot of money just from restoring 8 rooms. And so what has happened? Everybody in the neighborhood has started restoring their houses and started renting rooms. So it takes us a few leaders and then the rest seem to follow. But again, the key thing being the incentives must be right. So this is again, you know, the ghat at Sankamul. So people see the ghat being restored and this is already contagious because the other gutis are saying, if they can do it, we can also do it. So I think it just takes a few leaders to start and then people will, you know, do it. Now this is also very interesting, you know, this is Orniko statue in Beijing and it was made by Dharma Sakya, you know, who lives just down the road. And guess who Orniko looks like? It's actually a statue of Dharma. So Dharma went to China and made a statue of himself. And so sometimes, you know, we have to just appreciate the fact that, you know, Orniko might have lived in the 13th century. But if you walk around Kathmandu with me, I'll show you many Ornikos. And believe me, he looks like Orniko. Because, you know, he went to Beijing and actually carved a statue of him. This is actually outside the White Pagoda in Beijing. So it's Dharma Sakya. So again, you know, just in terms of money or wealth, sometimes we are always saying there's no money. So a lot of the Kathmandu heritage was built, you know, when China and India was 60% of the world's GDP 200 years ago. So 1820, 60% of the world GDP was India and China. And so Kathmandu used this advantage to make a lot of money by trading between India and China. And so it is this profit that allowed us to build this beautiful city. Now guess, in 2020, what will be the GDP of India and China compared to the world? Well, believe it or not, it's going to be 60% again. And so if we plan well, and by taking advantage of the location that we are in, I think we can recover, you know, everything that is dear to us. So it's just 200 years of poverty that we have suffered. So 200 years ago it was beautiful, and in 2020 it can still be beautiful. So let me, you know, stop here and then open up the floor.
Thank you, Anil. As always, a very interesting talk. You have given us a lot of reasons for hope, but you've also raised a lot of thought-provoking and propagative comments, and I think that will certainly lead to a very interesting discussion. And we can continue as long as we can carry this. So the floor is open for questions, comments, anything.
They were all sleeping.
That's the last thing.
Yeah, correct.
I think because you are such a good communicator, I thought maybe I was inspired by your words. I thought I would share some ideas that may become part of your repertoire so that they can go further the way only you can communicate. Yoda Malayako, yo Murti ko Sandhavani. आजकल पूजा करने घर और ना पूजा करना आउने घर को जनघर तो बढ़ेगा था जैसे जून खाल को अबीर अच्छेता देवता माँ ढूंढा कर बहुत ही अच्छी ब्रांड बोल लड़ा कहते हैं भाष्य रहते हैं अनुवारे भी उन्हें कह को हमने पाया था मैं लास्ट दौलत का भीमसेन सवन राम को उदाहरण हो जैसे ये उड़ा अभियान खालू पड़ी होगी पब्लिक माँ कि पूजा गर्दाखेरि अब चाहिँ नि त्यो भस्ने काम नगर्ने परेबाट छर्कने यो कारण के भनेदेखि अब धर्मावलम्बीको संख्या बढ्यो एक नयाँ वर्षको आइडिया त्यहाँलाई सेयर गर्दा आउने बेलामा अर्को चाहिँ नि यो मूर्ति चोरीको सन्दर्भमा धेरै जस्तो फ्री स्ट्यान्डिङ मूर्ति चाहिँ चोरी भइसक्यो इभन यो टप यु टप विथ सो मेनी पौवा आर्टदेखि लिएर चाहिँ नि मूर्तिको चाहिँ अहिले मात्रै सजिलोमा एउटा अप्सन हुँदैछ त्यसै रोक्ने कुरा भइरहेछ एकजनाले गरिरहेछ होइन अभियान गर्नुपर्ने धेरै अगाडिदेखि हो तर पनि अहिले ढिलो भइसकेको छैन एउटा मूर्ति फिर्ता ल्याउनको लागि एकदम त्यो एङ्ग्री खालको एक्टिभिजम होइन कि एउटा धरातल बनाउने किनभने अहिले मूर्ति फिर्ता ल्यायो भने त्यो भोलि नै चोरी हुन्छ त हामी तयार छैनौँ तर मानिसहरूले चाहिँ ती मूर्तिहरू चाहिँ ती हाम्रो नासो हो सो यो गट एन अनलोन वी विल अल्टिमेटली आफ्टर इट ब्याक भन्ने खालको एउटा विचार अहिले राख्ने हो कि दुई अनि त्यसको मेरो अन्तिम कुरा चाहिँ नि जुन किनभने अनिलको प्रजन्मको यति कुरा थियो कि सबै ठाउँमा चाहिँ नयाँ नयाँ कुराहरू पनि थिए अनि त्यसमा यो बालुवा र ढुङ्गाको कुरा छ नि कोसीको कुरा जुन वरेभर यु टक्ट अबाउट त्यसै गरिकन यो पहाडी क्षेत्रबाट पहाडी भूभागबाट बालुवा निकाल्दाखेरि चाहिँ त्यहाँ चाहिँ सकिन्छ अरे तर समसँगमा चाहिँ सकिँदैन त्यसैले जब यो फास्ट ट्याग आउँदा नि त्यसपछि समथलबाट चाहिँ बालुवा चाहिँ नि एक्सपेरिमेन्ट गर्न सकिन्छ कसैको कुरा एउटा भयो बागमतीकै हुनसक्छ सायद उयोको रूप त्यो कारणले पनि यो फास्ट ट्यागले छिटो गराउनु पर्ने हो कि जसरी चाहिँ नि त्रिशुलीमा चाहिँ नि अहिले एउटा चाहिँ त वाइट वाटर राख्नै नै सक्यो किनभने जुन तरिकाले बालुवा उत्खनन भइरहेको छ त्यो धुनुपर्छ बालुवा धुने क्रममा चाहिँ नि फोहोर भइन्छ लास्ट पोइन्ट चाहिँ ढुङ्गाको उत्खननको बारेमा चाहिँ समय स्पेसिफिकली क्वेसन टु यु अनिल भाइ नट क्वेसन नाउ बट सो यु कन्सिडर यो ढुङ्गा खानी जुन बनाइँदैछ नि इफ यु गो अन द वे टु यो नयाँ हाइवे सिन्धुलीको हाइवेमा यो भकुन्डे बेसी नजिकै देयर इज अ बिग ट्रिब्युटरी टु द राइट ह्यान्ड साइड त्यो मेरो विचारमा सेन्चुरिजको चाहिँ ल्यान्ड स्लाइडले त्यो उपत्यका भरिएको हुन्छ द्याट उपत्यका इज फुल अफ रक्स सो वाइ इज इट इम्पोर्टेन्ट टु ब्लास्ट द हिल साइड वेन रक्स क्यान बी एक्सकेभेटेड आउट अफ द ग्राउन्ड त्यो कारणले हाम्रो अर्को हेरिटेज पनि बस्थ्यो कि दिज आर थ्री अर फोर आइडियाज आई
कल गरेर भेरी गुड. सो आई थिङ्क देयर आर अल्सो गुड आइडियाज एन्ड गुड क्याम्पेन्स. र जस्ट टु गिभ यु एन एक्जाम्पल होइन, जस्तै लुम्बिनीमा नि जुन त्यो अशोक पिलर छ, द बिगेस्ट थ्रेट टु द अशोक पिलर इज एक्चुली पिपल थ्रोइङ कोइन्स एट इट. त्यो यति धेरै मोहर र पैसा फ्याँक्छन् त्यसमा. सो द्याट हेज बिकम त्यो जुन लिपि छ त्यसमा जुन टेक्स्ट, सो द्याट इज रियली वेरिङ आवर. सो युर राइट, सो इट निड्स टु बी प्रोटेक्टेड. तर अब त्यो गर्ने मान्छेले चाहिँ श्रद्धालय नै गरेको हो एन्ड द वर्ड इज श्रद्धा. पालीमा उसले श्रद्धा नै देखाएको हो, तर उसलाई चाहिँ वी हेभ टु एजुकेट देम बेसिकली सेङ यु नो द्याट्स हार्मिङ द प्रुफ द्याट द बुद्ध वाज बोर्न देयर एन्ड सो पिपल सिम टु अन्डरस्ट्यान्ड द्याट. प्लिज.
अन्डाको जति कुरा छ नि त्यति मिठो लाग्दै जाने त्यही टाइपले कुरा सुन्दा जहिले सुन्दा त्यही नयाँ लाग्ने गरेको त्यो यो पानीको जिन गरेर कुसिनु जाने क्रममा गयो भन्दा चाहिँ यो अट्याचमेन्ट र प्रिजर्भेसन जुन कुरा देखाउनु मैले अवश्य अट्याचमेन्ट गरेपछि त्यो प्रिजर्भेसन बढ्छ भने जाने. तर यो सवालमा तपाईँको त्यो बागमतीलाई अनि हिन्दू रिलिजन र पशुपतिलाई हेरेको क्रममा कि त अट्याचमेन्ट नभएको कि यो गर्वमय करले गरा हो कि त्यो मानव अब बागमतीको पानी त ब्रह्मनामा हामीलाई छुनै पर्छ तपाईँको त्यो पानी चाहिँ तपाईँ चलाउनै पर्यो. यदि त्यसमा एकदम राम्रोसँग अट्याचमेन्ट भएको भने त्यो प्रिजर्भेसनमा भएको पनि सुधार्ने. त्यो क्रममा यदि नेपालको टोली पपुलेसन हेऱ्यो भने त्यो रिलिजन वेबाट हेऱ्यो भने ओभियस इन रिलिजन अझ बहिनी धेरै छौँ. अब त्यो सवाल हुँदा नि वाइन अफ एबल टु प्रिजर्भ दार्जिलिङ चार्जमा नभएको कि के हो अहिले त पाउन पाए.
सो भेरी क्विकली छ नि, जस्तै हाम्रो घरमा हाम्रो यो टिभी चलाउने जुन रिमोट कन्ट्रोल छ नि, कतिजनाले रिमोट कन्ट्रोल हराउनु भएको छ. यु सी बिकज द रिमोट कन्ट्रोल डज समथिङ फर यु एन्ड इट गिभ यु इन्जोयमेन्ट, यु डोन्ट लुज इट. इन द्याट ब्याट्री सकिन अगाडि नै वी रिप्लेस द ब्याट्री बिकज वी डोन्ट वन्ट अ सिचुएसन वेयर त्यो. सो बागमती पनि त्यस्तै हो नि, त्यसले रमाइलो दिने हामीलाई काम दिने हो भने त वी वुड सेभ इट. सो रिमोट कन्ट्रोल जस्तै हो. ओके, सो वी हेभ टु हेभ अट्याचमेन्ट. जस्तै रिमोट कन्ट्रोल कहिले पनि हराउँदैन, वी नो भेरी इट होइन. द सेकेन्ड थिङ इज यो जुन जस्तै बार बर्थे मेला भन्छौँ नि, अब पहिला पहिला भोज नेवारहरूले भोजले बिग्रियो भन्छ. अब भोज भनेको छ नि बार बर्थे मेला भनेर होइन बाजा साजा लिएर गोदावरीको जुन मुहानमा हेर्न जाने भने. सो एभ्री 12 इयर्स मुहान चेक गर्ने वाज अ फेस्टिभल. अब इनार सफा गर्ने पनि फेस्टिभल, यो पनि फेस्टिभल. अब दुर्भाग्य के भने फेस्टिभल जुन त्यो सफा गर्ने अथवा त्यो मुहान हेर्ने चाहिँ माइनस भयो, तर भोज खाने मात्रै बाँकी भयो नि. सो आई थिङ्क दिस इज अल्सो वेयर वी आर अट्याच टु द गुड फुड, बट द ड्युटी द्याट केम विथ द फेस्टिभल त्यो चाहिँ इज डिसअपियर. द थर्ड थिङ इज धेरै जस्तो हेरिटेज किन कन्जर्भ भएको छ भन्दाखेरि वर्षको अन्तमा जब गुठीले धान बाँध्छ नि त्यो धान त सबैलाई प्यारो छ. So the only reason for thousands of years why we preserved it, because at the end of the year you get rice. Ab aile if the rice is not coming then it has stopped. Just euta example Krishna mandir ma dui muri dhan atha 12 paisa bhanera lekha cha ani tyo pujari lai 12 paisa dine dui muri chai rakhne bhaye pachi tyo kalle tyo continue garne. So we have to look at these systems a little more carefully. Kin bhane tyo bela ko dui muri dhan ra 12 paisa chai you know equate garera chai those are not the kind of incentives. You know, that would work. So the attachment is to the dhan ma attachment hone. Ule gareko tyo dhan paucha bhanera gareko hone. So I think we have to go a little deeper.
Shiva. Shiva, that would come here.
Hello, sir. Just to, yo, hamro purana yo city structure haru, you know, the city parampara chai hamro ta 25,000 barsha dekhi chha. Aba हाम्रो चाहिँ जस्तो साडीदेखि उसले साडीदेखि हेर्दाखेरि जुन त्यो कन्स्ट्रक्सन म्याट्रिक्सहरूले अर्को खालको भइरहेको छ. तपाईँले भनेको बाह्र गुणाले हाम्रो चाहिँ त्यो काठको भाव बढ्दै गएको छ भन्दाखेरि अब त्यसो भयो भनेदेखि त डेभलप प्रडक्सन क्यान्डिडेट बिजनेस हो. त्यसले गर्दाखेरि यो यस्तो किसिमको एफर्ट्सहरू गभर्मेन्टले खोज्नु पऱ्यो नि त. जसरी पब्लिसहरू त ल्याउनु पऱ्यो, प्राइभेट सेक्टरलाई क्रिएट मेकेट हाम्रो किसिमको पोलिसीहरू केही हामीले गर्न सुन्न सक्नुहुन्छ. अनि अर्को जस्तो यो हाम्रो यो कल्चरली इम्पोर्टेन्ट अनि रिच हुँदा हो भने, जस्तो अनि हाम्रो कन्सेप्टमा यहाँ सिटी परेदेखि नै फङ्सन हुँदा हो भने, अब हाम्रो त्यो सिटी खोज्नको लागि इन्डिभिजुअल लेभलबाट गर्ने कि तपाईँ एकजना हुनुहुन्छ अर्को एकजना हुनुहुन्छ आफ्नो एटेम्पबाट पनि गर्ने कि त्यसलाई त्यो सिटी लाइफको भ्यालेन्स नै हो भनेर गभर्मेन्टले मेगा प्रोजेक्ट हेरे काम गर्न सक्छ मेगा प्रोजेक्टले कि इन्डिभिजुअल लेभलमा यस्तो साधारण हामी संस्थान खोलेर दुई चारजना ड्रिमरहरू मिलेर गर्ने कस्तो यस्ता मेथोडोलोजीहरूमा जाने कुन चाहिँ कसरी सक्सेसफुल जस्तो लाग्छ. सम्भव छ हामीले त्यो पुरानो भाइब्रेसन रिदम त ल्याउन सक्दैन होला हाम्रो ठाउँको, तर पनि त्यो एफर्ट सुरु गर्नको लागि कुन मेथोडोलोजी चाहिँ इम्पोर्टेन्ट.
सो जस्ट यु नो यो फोरेस्टको बारेमा छ नि, जस्तै अहिले हाम्रो जुन न्युज प्रिन्टहरू भन्छौँ नि अखबार थाप्ने, त्यो संसारभरि धेरै जस्तो फिनल्यान्डबाट आउँछ र फिनल्यान्डले वनबाट यति धेरै प्रडक्टहरू निकाल्छ नि तर उसको वनको डिप्लेसन चाहिँ जिरो. सो बेसिकली फोरेस्ट इज अ रिन्युएबल रिसोर्स र त्यहाँबाट जति हार्भेस्ट गरे पनि द ट्री ग्रोज एन्ड सो इट क्यान बी अ रिन्युएबल रिसोर्स. अब नेपालमा त्यही हो, वन भने त अथवा काठ भने त रिन्युएबल रिसोर्स हो, तर अब मिसम्यानेजमेन्ट देन बिकम्स द इस्यु, काठ आफैमा इस्यु होइन. सो दिस जस्ट वी हेभ टु अन्डरस्ट्यान्ड. अब जहाँसम्म यो कलेक्टिभको कुरा छ नि, अब अहिलेको पोलिटिकल सिचुएसन, अहिलेको इकोनोमिक सिचुएसन, आई थिङ्क यु नो कलेक्टिभ इज नट जस्ट समथिङ द्याट वी क्यान गो फर. सो जस्तै साउथ अफ्रिकामा अथवा अरू ठाउँ पनि यस्तो पोलिटिकल ट्रान्जेक्सनको बेलामा यु रियली हेभ टु रिलाई अन अन्टरप्रेनर्स एन्ड इनोभेटर्स. होइन जस्तै द्वारिका होटेल लिउँ न, सो द्वारिका होटेल बनाउने बेलामा उहाँले त्यो झ्याल छ्याल नकिनेको भए मलाई थाहा छ त्यो सबै दाउरा हुन्थ्यो. तर अब त्यति बेला द्वारिका होटेल बनाएको मेबी द्याट वाज द बेस्ट थिङ द्याट हि कुड डु, बट टुडे आई क्यान एक्चुली सो यु यो पिस चाहिँ पाटनको यो बालको भने म देखाउन सक्छु. होइन सो मेबी टुडे द्वारिका इज नट अ गुड आइडिया, बट 22 years ago 25 years ago द्याट वाज द बेस्ट थिङ हि कुड हेभ डन टु सेभ दोज पिसेस. सो टाइम अनुसार चाहिँ चेन्ज हुन्छ. तर अन अ लाइटर नोट छ नि, अहिले हामी कस्तो ट्रान्जेक्सनमा छौँ भने, सो फर्स्ट वी मेक प्लान्स, देन वेन वी हेभ टु मेनी प्लान्स वी मेक अ मास्टर प्लान, र अहिले यति धेरै मास्टर प्लान भइसक्यो इट्स टाइम टु मेक अ हेड मास्टर प्लान. अब अहिले त्यति मात्र हुन्छ, अहिले अध्ययन गर्ने, प्लान बनाउने. सो दिस इज नट द टाइम फर कलेक्टिभ एफर्ट, इज जस्ट नट द इन्भाइरोमेन्ट. अब पहिले पो राजालाई होइन हिजो सपनामा यस्तो देखेको भनेर यु कुड, अब अहिले को सपनामा देखेको भनेर विच वन फर. सो आई थिङ्क वी हेभ टु जस्ट युज द लोकल रियालिटी अहिलेको.
अगाडि
अलिकति जस्तो कि तपाईँ जहिले पनि एकदम सकारात्मक हुनुहुन्छ, म गर्छु र धेरै नेपाली सकारात्मक छन्, तपाईँले अलिकति रिस्कको कुरा गरे पनि हुन्थ्यो होला जस्तो लाग्यो. किनभने अहिले हाम्रो यो ट्रान्जेक्सनमा जे भइरहेको छ, अहिले जे हाम्रो समाजमा जे कुराहरू कुराहरू कतिको रिस्क छ
भइरहेको.
एकदमै के भन्नुभयो भनेदेखि धेरै जस्तो कुराहरू हाम्रो कल्चरमा सबैले हाम्रो ल्याङ्ग्वेजमा कुराहरू हाम्रो कस्टम्सहरूमा आधारित छ र त्यसले गर्दाखेरि यस इकोलोजी यसको क्राफ्ट यसका धेरै कुराहरू यो हाम्रो धर्मले हाम्रो इकोलोजीले हाम्रो वे अफ लिभिङ यो ट्रेडिसनले त्यसलाई प्रिजर्भ गरिरहेको छ. डेफिनेट लिङ्केज बिट्विन वाट वी प्र्याक्टिस, वाट वी इट, वाट वी प्रोग्रेस र हाउ वी पर्फर्म, त्यस कारण यो लिङ्केज जुन छ, यो लिङ्केज चाहिँ अहिले फिटेन भएको छ. त्यस कारणमा हामी के भन्ने
चाहिँ
लट अफ थिङ्स द्याट आर नाउ बिङ टेबल्ड इन द पार्लियामेन्ट एन्ड टुमरो मेबी ए ल. अब जस्तै उदाहरणदेखि अहिले हाम्रो गाई काट्ने चाहिँ पाउनुपर्छ भनेर चाहिँ गाई काट्नलाई चाहिँ अहिले पानीहरू घाट गरेर, तर अब जुन क्रिमिनल प्रोसिजरहरू हामीले पेनल कोडहरू जुन चाहिँ हामीले प्रस्तावित गरेका छौँ त्यसमा गाई काट्नु पाइन्छ भनेर सिङ्गल एउटा तपाईँलाई उदाहरण ल्याउँ कि एउटा गाईसित हाम्रो चाहिँ सम्पूर्ण चिजहरू जोडिएका छन्, हाम्रो जी जति तपाईँ देख्नुभयो ती कुराहरू जोडिएका छन् जस्तो सुनिएको छ. दोस्रो उदाहरण अब जुन तपाईँले देखिरहनु भएको छ क्लोज लाइटिज जुन किसिमले भइरहेको छ एन्ड द्याट इज गोइङ टु एभाइज इस्टाब्लिस अन प्रोसिजरको एन्ड वोट काइन्ड अफ थ्रेट्स यु बिङ टकिङ आई थिङ्क द टाइप अफ ट्रान्सफर्मेसन द्याट इज बिङ टकिङ आई रियली are we going to really segregate this? Just like that, Amro is the linkage between the language, between the culture, and between what you talked about, the ecology and craftsmen and all that kind of thing, are really in serious danger. And I think, it's not a way to do that, so what do you think about it?
Yep.
And do you have any prescriptions? It's not like a prescription.
Okay. So, you know, these are difficult, you know, conversations, but it's the right kind of conversation because you jun samvidhan lekhne kura atha jun desh ma transition cha ni, tara yasma chai maile herda kheri jase bhanu, let's take Belayat as an example. 1947 ma Belayat was probably the richest economy, tara aile 2011 ma aera pension dine pani paisa chaina, tara tyo period ma ule 42% afno jungle pani chitai sakyo, सो भनेपछि संसारको एउटा अत्म के छ भने जङ्गल पनि बाँकी नहुने, पेन्सन पनि बाँकी नहुने, पैसा पनि नहुने, यो त लुटेपछि मात्रै धनी हुने रहेछ होइन. सो 44 देश लुट्ने बेलासम्म छ त्यो रिच, तर लुट्न नपाएपछि त गरिब हुँदो रहेछ. सो आई थिङ्क विथ नेपाल अल्सो वी हेभ टु अन्डरस्ट्यान्ड हाम्रो पानी, हाम्रो जङ्गल, दिज आर भेरी इम्पोर्टेन्ट थिङ्स बिकज दिस इज द बेसिस फर आर लाइभलीहुड, कि त्यसलाई मासेर सिध्याएर चाहिँ काम छैन. तर अब दोस्रो कुरा चाहिँ जुन समावेशी जुन भन्छौँ नि, अब त्यो गाईलाई एउटा भनौँ, अहिले हामीले एउटा यहीँ वी क्यान डु एक्सर्साइज, एउटा गाईको यहाँ तस्विर देखायौँ भने यहाँ 40 त्यो गाईलाई हेर्ने तरिका चाहिँ फरक निस्किन्छ. सो कसैले मासु देख्छ भने कसैले भगवान् देख्छ, कसैले दुध देख्छ भने कसैले गोबर देख्छ. सो आई थिङ्क नेपालमा इन्क्लुजन अथवा पिस भनेको के भने त्यो सबै पक्षलाई रेस्पेक्ट गर्नु सक्नु पऱ्यो. सो इफ यु हेभ अ रेस्पेक्ट फर गोबर पनि मासु पनि, सो बेसिकली त्यो छ नि मासुमा मात्रै परिणत गर्ने किन हामी अहिले बोल्यो छौँ भन्यो भने द्याट विल नट गिभ अस लास्टिङ पिस. सो आई थिङ्क इट इज अ कम्प्रोमाइज वेयर सँगै सबै बस्ने हो भने वी हेभ टु रेस्पेक्ट अल साइड. सो त्यो गोबरले लेप्नेलाई पनि हेप्नु भएन होइन, त्यो दुधको लागि मात्रै पाल्ने पनि हेप्नु भएन. सो इट हेभ टु बी अ रेस्पेक्टफुल सोसाइटी. सो आई थिङ्क अहिले चाहिँ भनौँ म बोल्यो छु त्यसैले हामी चाहिँ काट्छौँ भन्ने जुन तपाईँले जुन होइन त्यो अप्रोच, आई थिङ्क द्याट विल टेक अस टु अ न्यू कन्फ्लिक्ट. सो आई थिङ्क वी सुड अभोइड इट. र त्यो सबै पक्ष हामी 2 crore कति अब 66 lakh नेपालीहरू छौँ भने वी हेभ टु लर्न टु रेस्पेक्ट अदर पिपल्स पर्सपेक्टिभ. अब त्यसैमा पनि भनौँ न, जस्तै अब इन द पास्ट होइन वेन वी भन्नुहोस् चाहिँ अब मदर टङ चाहिँ सबैको एउटै हुनुपर्छ, त्यसो गर्दाखेरि जुन सेन्टिमेन्टहरू हर्ट भएको छ अहिले मेरो विचारमा त्यो केही समयको लागि त्यो रियाक्सन मात्रै होला. तर अलिकति हामीले यसरी बुझाउन सक्यौँ सम्झाउन सक्यौँ भने ए यो त एउटा भ्यालुएबल चिज हो होइन, यसमा त अरूको सेन्टिमेन्ट चाहिँ बिग्रिन्छ त्यसले गर्दाखेरि फेरि अर्को नयाँ खालको द्वन्द आउँछ भनेर त्यसरी बुझाउन सक्यो भने अघि तपाईँले भनेको छ आई थिङ्क नेपालीज आर क्वाइट यु नो रिजनेबल पिपल. तर चुजिङ इदर ओर आई थिङ्क इज नट अ सोल्युसन, किनभने मासु देख्ने बलियो भएपछि मासै हुने, भगवान् देख्नेले बलियो भएपछि भगवान् हुने, त्यो चाहिँ हुँदैन.
हाम्रो सम्पदाको सम्बन्धमा हाइलाइट गरेर चाहिँ दिएर यसको सन्दर्भमा अथवा यसको मोटिभेसन भन्ने काम जुन उजागर गर्नुभएको छ अलिक आफू लेखिहाल्छ, किनभने हामी आफ्नो धर्म चाहिँ बिर्सिएको अवस्था साथै सबै आफ्नो सेल्फ इन्ट्रेस्ट नै लागेकोले मूल बिर्सी अवस्था पनि छ. म सोचे पनि हो कहिलेतिर जुन भेन्सिनको कुरा भयो त्यसमा बोल्नु बोल्नुभएको छ, त्यहाँ चाहिँ पूजा गर्दाखेरि भेन्सिनको रुचि गर्दा अनि मूल पूजाले पूजा गर्दाखेरि त्यो त भेन्सिनको एउटा किला हो, मूर्ति होइन, शिला मात्रै हो. त्यसले गर्दाखेरि त्यहाँ अनुहार बनाउने, टिका लगाउने, आँखा साखा देखाउने र मध्य दिनमा चाहिँ त्यहाँ घर आफ्नो नयाँ पुरा गरेर चलाउनु पूजा पनि गर्छ. त्यो परिस्थितिमा देखि त्यो अवस्था छ, त्यसै मैले पूजा लगाउँदाखेरि त्यो अवस्थामा त्यो मूर्ति लगाएर राम्रो देखिन्छ. तर उहाँले भन्नुभएको जसमा टिका लगाउँदाखेरि उग्रदाखेरि चाहिँ त्यो रूप बिग्रिहाल्छ, त्यो मात्र होइन अनि मूर्तिहरूमा पनि बिग्रिहाल्छ. बरु हो यसलाई चाहिँ कसै कसै गरेर लगाउने भने एउटा अभियान चल्नुपर्छ कि सोचेर त्यो भावले राम्रो हुन्छ. जहाँसम्म यहाँले भन्नुभयो अहिले त्यो बागमती चाहिँ आफै दूषित भयो होइन, हामी दूषित बनाएको हो यसो बागमती सबै कुरो धेरै अभियान चाहिँ चलेको गभर्मेन्ट तर्फबाट चलेको देखिरहेको छौँ तर समस्या भएको छैन. साँच्चै त्यसपछि हामी सामाजिक तौरबाट नै गभर्मेन्टले प्रस्तुत गर्न सक्यौँ अथवा गभर्मेन्ट तर्फ अथवा नगरपालिकातर्फ जसले गरे पनि रेल सिस्टम दुई साइडमा बनाएर त्यो बागमती पानी नभए पनि समस्या गर्न सक्यो भने त त्यो हामी हेल्पलाइन सदस्य हो, त्यो अभियान कसरी लाग्ने हो. अब सबै कुरा के छ भने अब ढोल्खाकै कुरा गर्दा चाहिँ मैले भन्छु त्यहाँ नेवार कल्चर सबै छ, मूर्तिहरू धेरै छन् तर जति पनि धनका मूर्तिहरू सुन छ आदिको मूर्तिहरू छन् हारेसिका समर्थन छैन. मैले फलाना ठाउँमा पुर्याइदिएको फलाना कार्यलाई बुझाइदिएको यसरी सम कुराको चोरीले बयान दिँदाखेरि पनि कारवाही भएको छैन. हिजो पञ्चायत कालिम्पोङ जो अवस्था छ आज पनि समय छैन त्यस्तो कुरा लुकिरहेको अवस्थालाई हामी कसरी समस्या दिन सक्छौँ त. यो पार्ट पनि सोचनीय हो, यहाँहरूको जुन अभियानमा जे देखाउनु हो त्यो अति सराहनीय हो. म पार्टनर ग्याम्पसमा पढाउँछु त्यही यहाँको बाहिर मेरो फर्स्ट भिजिट हो म
र यसमा छ नि अलिकति सबैले एउटा सोचौँ न, जस्तै नेवारहरू काठमाडौँको नेवारहरू पहिला चाहिँ 30 दिन हिँडेर लाजा गएर व्यापार गर्ने, अब अहिले तलको 2 तल्ला भाडामा दिने अनि माथि आफू तल्लामा बस्ने अनि महिनाको 1 पल्ट तल आएर भाडा कलेक्ट गर्ने. अब त्यो 30 दिन हिँड्न तयार नेवारहरू अहिले चाहिँ तलसम्म नआउने भएपछि त्यो दोलखाको भीमसेन कसरी बस्छ? त्यो त लाजा जाँदाखेरि त्यो चाहेर नै उसले बनाएको हुने. अचितलाङ पनि त्यस्तै हो, पहिला भीमबेदी जाँदाखेरि चाहिन्थ्यो सो त्यो बत्ती बस्यो, अब अहिले माथि भनौँ 3 तल्ला 4 तल्ला भाडा दिएर आनन्दसँग बस्ने भएपछि त्यो बिग्रेको त्यो हो. सो युसेज अगेन, अब हिजो लास्ट जाँदाखेरि त्यसको भ्याल्यु थियो, अब अहिले लास्ट जानु नपरेपछि त्यसको भ्याल्यु कम भयो. think it's right. Yeah.
Sir, Mosai Hajuko Aki
even as a newer, as a Bhutia, I allow for it to be going to be. When it is public or in the Bhutia, when I ask, not allowed, it's not permitted myself. When I am there, it's not allowed. Even there is a serious one, serious Bhutia in Germany, so it's only one way to ritual life, or who have anything for it. There's a barrier, get through the curtain. So, Sawana, how can we preserve that, sir? Your eyes are. Also, in this modern globalization and globalization situation, it's not such a thing that matters. We have a lot of people who are in the world. Basically, about different matters that have changed for us, sir. You don't say anything, don't say Amro, historic, don't say cultural values, and bokeh, or don't things or something. They're all replaced by that, sir. Especially in globalism, all the current industry, new things, or easy way of exposure, sir. It's all of us not really to try to like adapt the continuous and growth of Saki Saki. But also, for our estima, I go, don't say Amro. It's a situation that I mean,
because everything is about to change. So change to कसले रोक्न सकिदैन जस्तै हिजो भने नि जस्तै जबसम्म भन्नु न जस्तै यो लासा जाने बाटो चाहिँ हिमाल भएर जान्थ्यो त्यतिबेरासम्म काठमाडौँ भ्याली धनी थियो 15 दिन भोज खान मिल्थ्यो तर जब व्यापार चाहिँ समुद्रबाट गयो हैन अब यो भ्याली त धनी भएन सो दोज आर द काइन्ड अफ चेन्जेस वी हैव टु रिकग्नाइज कि टाइम चाहिँ चेन्ज भयो अनि त्यो पुरानै तरिकाले म जान्छु भनेर त सम्भव छैन सो कहिले काहीँ छ नि इजिप्ट जाँदाखेरि मान्छेले अचम्मसँग त्यो पिरामिड देखाउँछ क्या यो पिरामिड यसरी बनेको उसरी बनाएको भनेर अनि त्यो गाइडलाई मैले यो मोबाइल फोन देखाएर फेरोले यो मोबाइल फोन देख्यो भने के भन्थ्यो होला त्यो फेरो पनि त अतम हुन्थ्यो होइन सो हामी पिरामिड देखेर अतम हुन्छ भने मोबाइल फोन देखेर पनि त अतम हुन्छ नि सो चेन्ज विल ह्यापन अब त्यो अनुसार चेन्ज गर्ने हो भने त्यो टिक्छ पनि तर होइन यो चाहिँ अनचेन्जेबल यो यस्तै हो भन्यो भने तपाईँको भोलि नाति छोरछोरीले ए यो बुढो यस्तै हो भनेर छोडेर जान्छ सो आई थिङ्क यु नो देयर इज द रियालिटी चेक that we have to also do. अझ चाहिँ वेद भनौँ न वेद होइन जङ्गलबाट वेद जुन आउँछ अब हामीलाई के थाहा छ नि जस्तै चितवनको संरक्षण गर्दाखेरि त्यो वेद नै जङ्गली हात्तीलाई एकदम मनपर्छ अब गाउँलेहरूले के गर्छ त्यो गाउँको वरिपरि वेद लगाउन मान्दै मान्दैन द्याट्स अ स्योर वे टु अट्र्याक्ट वाइल्ड एलिफेन्ट्स सो इट टुक मेनी इयर्स फर अस टु रियलाइज दिस कि किन मान्छेले त्यसमा चाहिँ कन्जर्भेसनमा ध्यान नदिएको भनेर अब अहिले भर्खर एउटा टिबेटको केस छ त्यहाँ चाहिँ एउटा वाइल्ड फ्लावर रातो फुल फुल्ने वाइल्ड फ्लावर चाहिँ यो आएछ इट्स अ इन्भेसिभ स्पिसिज अनि त्यो लोकल बाख्रा यो जुन वस्तुले खायो भने चाहिँ बिख लगाएर मर्ने तर त्यो पहाड चाहिँ यति राम्रो देख्ने कि त्यहाँको टुरिज्म ब्युरोले चाहिँ त्यो नउखेल्नु भनेर So you see, when tourism versus local culture begins, obviously conflict or derision. Nepal पनि आउँछ र कुनै पनि भनौं न जस्तै अब नेवारहरुकै जात्रा भनौं न भोलिको के चिराखाना हो एउटा खोर भित्र राखेर तस्बिर खिच्छ त्यो पनि त मान्दैन सो आई थिंक चेन्ज विल ह्यापन हैन त्यो चेन्ज अनुसार हामीले चाहिँ अडप्ट गर्नै पर्छ तर अडप्ट भनेको के भन्दाखेरि त्यसको जुन अथेन्टिसिटी त्यो चाहिँ प्रिजर्भ गर्न पर्यो अघि भने जस्तो नयाँ लॉजिक अथवा नयाँ तर्क भनौं न ल्याएर तर आई थिंक सम थिंग्स वी विल हैव टू चेन्ज जस्तै जुन पुरानो वेल्थ हामीसँग जुन थियो नि त्यो सबै गर्नलाई त्यो वेल्थ त अहिले हामीसँग छैन सो थिंग्स डू चेन्ज
Any more questions or comments? We can have one last one if there is anyone. Something pressing. Otherwise, thank you, Nailu. Very, very entertaining, also. And thank you all for being here this evening.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'll send you that.